Morning.
All right. Do you guys know what time of year it is? Finals. It's finals, right? You guys remember being in school? When was the last time you were in school, Hank? Yeah, come on, baby. Did they have finals? Yeah, they did. All right. So we're going to do a little bit of finals right now, and you have six questions on your test, and that's what we're going to do. So that's where we're going to start today. So you can put up the first one, Steve. The key is this. Who said this? Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. Mary, who said that? All right, 1 point for Rosalind. Okay, so think about this. We're going to break these down. Think about that situation. The angel of the Lord comes to Mary and says, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you're going to give birth to a child. And this is Mary's response. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. She's probably 13 years old, right? Young, 12, 13, 14, somewhere in that ballpark, right? Think about when you were that age. I think about my son. He's 12 years old right now. If the angel of the Lord appeared to him, would his response be a similar response? I don't know, right? You know, that's, he's got to decide that. But think about what a bold response that Mary had in the face of this question, or in the face of this declaration of what God wanted to do through her, right? Next one. It says, then I said, here I am, send me. Who is? Isaiah, who said that? Rosalind again. Two points, Rosalind. Come on, congregation. All right. So Isaiah has this revelation of the living God, right? This powerful encounter. And God's looking for someone who will be his mouthpiece. And he says, whom shall I send? And Isaiah says, send me. And if you think about Isaiah's life and everything that he had to go through by being the voice piece or the mouthpiece of the living God, right? It wasn't this rosy ride as he went through king after king after king, right? The different things that he faced. But ultimately, the bottom line is, he says, here I am, send me. You don't know who else to send? Send me. I'm willing. I'm ready. I will go wherever you take me. I will say whatever you have me say. Right? Third one. Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David, right? Okay. So we've been talking about this story because we've been looking at the giants a little bit, right? Here's David. He's just bringing lunch out to his brothers. He's not even qualified to go out to the battle zone, right? He's just a shepherd. He's hanging out with the sheep, and his dad says, go take some food to your brothers who are fighting. And he gets there. And he sees, or he hears, ultimately, Goliath, this huge guy, stand up, and he mocks the tribe or the troops of Israel, and everybody runs away. And David's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And then he finds out the real story of what's happening, that for day after day after day, Goliath comes out, and he mocks Israel, and the troops of Israel are paralyzed, and they flee, right, ultimately. Right? They want nothing to do with Goliath because they're scared to death. And David, he says, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Again, a young boy who's saying, I'm willing, I'm able, I'll do it. Take me. Next one. We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. Who's that? Caleb. Who said that? Steve McGarry. Point. Go Vikings. All right. So, right? The spies go out. 12 spies go out. Joshua and Caleb come back with a favorable response. We have never seen fruit like this. It's really true. The land is filled with milk and honey. And the other 10 spies come back and say, but there's giants in the land. We can't take that land. We're going to be crushed. We're going to be destroyed, right? There's no way we can take it. But Caleb stands up with Joshua, but Caleb says, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. So in the face of the community around him saying, there's no way, this is a stupid plan, we should never do this, God set us up, let's go back to Egypt, he stands and says, nope, I'm willing to go. I believe the Lord. I'm going to go. I say yes to the Lord. Right? And tries to encourage the people to do so. They end up saying no, and for 40 years they have a nice little journey through the desert. Right? Who's able to finally go into and defeat the giants in the land when all said and done? Joshua and Caleb, right? Yeah. All right, let's do one more, or two more. I will go into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Esther. All right, so there's been an edict. All of the Jewish people are going to be killed and destroyed. But Esther says, I will go into the king. And she knows that if the king doesn't put the scepter out to her, doesn't welcome her, it's death. It's death. And yet she risks her life on the sake of her people, for the sake of her people, that they would have life. And you guys know the end of the story, right? The king welcomes her, and then everything happens for the people of Israel. One more. So he departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ananias. All right, Jay. Yeah, Ananias. Imagine being Ananias, right? So here he is. He's heard all of the stories about how Saul persecuted the church and that he came to this region to persecute the Christian, the believers that were in that region. And he has this encounter on the road, right? And so he's blinded and he gets taken to this place. And then the Holy Spirit comes to Ananias and says, hey, I want you to go to that home to lay hands on Saul to restore his sight and to baptize him in the Holy Spirit. And Ananias says, no, don't you know who this guy is? Right? This is the guy who kills Christians. This is the guy who kills people like me. Right? And yet, when all said and done, he goes. And he does indeed lay hands on Saul's eyes, and they open up, and he gets baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the rest of our lives, right, would never be the same unless this encounter happened. We've been identifying keys for the past month and a half or so, which are critical in defeating the giants in the land. And we looked at two so far. The first was sort of what's in your hand. And we looked at David. And we talked about how David had three things in his hand when he went to face Goliath. He had a knowledge of the living God, sort of who God is, what his power and authority and everything that he represents. He had a personal testimony of how God protected him against the bear and the lion. And then he had a bag of rocks and a sling. Before he even knew that there was a person named Goliath, this giant who was traumatizing all the rest of Israel, David was fully equipped to defeat him. It's amazing. He already had within his hand everything that he needed to defeat the giant. And then last time we looked at what's in your ear, and we talked about Jehoshaphat. Right? And how his sort of automatic response when there was opposition coming his way, what does the Spirit of the Lord say? I have to know what the Spirit of the Lord says. And in the midst of that, he gets a response and a strategy of how to defeat that opposition that's coming his way. Right? Every single one of us who are sons and daughters of the living God, you were created to hear his voice, and you hear it well. And we talked about that whole process. The key today is what separates those who are destined for greatness from the ordinary. What distinguishes one from another in advancing the kingdom of God in the land of the living in powerful and significant ways? See, every single one of you, every single myself included, anybody listening on the podcast, you were created for greatness. You were created to advance the kingdom in such powerful and mighty ways because the living God lives inside of you. There's a purpose and a destiny for each one of us. Is it anointing? Right? Sometimes we look at, oh, that person's anointed, right? You look at this list of people we just talked about. Some were anointed, some were not, right? Is it calling? Like they got the call, and so now they're qualified to go into this situation. Is it timing? Right? It's just the right time. We just happen to live for such a time as this. That's why we're here, for this significant time and place. And all of those, I think, are factors, but really, without this one other thing, they're insignificant. And that other thing, the key today, is saying yes. Every single person, Mary, Isaiah, David, Caleb, Esther, Ananias, they all said yes. When faced with the question, will you go? Will you step up and advance this in this land? Will you battle this thing? They had a choice. Remember, God never forces anybody to do anything. God will never force you, as you sit here today, God will never force you to do something for him. But he will give you invitation after invitation after invitation after invitation. And as you say yes to one invitation, he gives you a greater invitation. He's looking for people who will say yes. The other thing all of these people had in common is none of them knew what the impact of their yes would be. God didn't come and say, okay, if you say yes, this is going to happen and this. It's all going to be laid out for you. It was just, will you go? Ananias had no clue the ramification of going and releasing and praying for Saul that day. What was going to happen? I don't think Mary fully understood what was going to happen as a result of saying, yes, I will birth Jesus. But she said, yes, do unto me, right? None of them knew the outcome when they said yes, and they didn't know the fullness of the implications for themselves or for those in their sphere of influence. And they had faith in the living God, in his goodness, in his faithfulness, right, in his power, and in his promises. They knew God. They knew what he was about. They knew about his goodness, his faithfulness. And it's in that place that they were saying, I trust him. And so I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes. What about the disciples? Jesus comes and he says, come follow me. He doesn't say, come follow me, we're going to go here, right? He just says, come follow me. And they have a choice. They can say yes or they can say no, right? They didn't know the full implication of their yes. Where was it going to take them? What was that going to mean for the rest of their lives? Their lives were never the same again when they said yes. What about us? What about you as you sit here this morning? Right? What have you done with his invitations and directives to influence those in your sphere of influence lately? Has the Holy Spirit come and said, hey, I'm not going to pick on anybody, but hey, will you go here? Will you say this? Will you do this? Will you give this? Will you, right? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you personally? Right? He'll say things to us as a corporate body as well, right? And we have a choice as a leadership team. Will we step in to what he's calling us to step into, right? But for you personally, the Holy Spirit is always inviting you into more. And it's both for you and it's for those in your sphere of influence around you. Because you're really significant. And so when you hear him leading you to give a prophetic word, maybe, or to do a prophetic act, like last week we did a prophetic act, right? And we had people running through the finish line, breaking through. And it was a powerful encounter for those who engaged in it, right? They said, yes, I want to participate in this thing, right? For me, that experience was, I heard the Holy Spirit say to do that in the congregation. And so I said, yes. It's a little risky. Not everybody loves prophetic acts, right? A lot of people sort of like, whoa, I don't know about that. That's for somebody over there. And that's okay. Ultimately, the bottom line is, when you hear an invitation from the Holy Spirit, will you say yes? Even if you know everybody in the room is not going to be excited about it, right? What about praying for the one that's right in front of you? So that may be your husband or wife, or that may be a stranger in the store. What about releasing an encouraging word or giving generously? And again, not just money, but time, resources. What about sharing the gospel? Laying down your life for others, serving others, right? Holy Spirit comes to us and asks us to do all sorts of things for the kingdom. What's your response? And ultimately, I think today God was saying, you know, it's often we'll get to a yes, but what's your personal process to the yes? Does that make sense? Like, how many steps does it take to get to the yes? So let me give you an example. Like, where this is real for me is I'll walk through Safeway or something like that, and I'll see a person with an arm brace or a hearing aid, and I'll hear the Holy Spirit say, contend for them. And when I first was starting to do this, in terms of reaching out and praying for strangers and that kind of thing, it was sort of like, are you sure, God? Like, that was one step. Like, me? That's two step. And often by the time I got to saying yes, the person was gone. Right? And there's this what's my automatic response? When the Holy Spirit is nudging, he's saying, I recognize that person right in front of you. And then you have a choice, to say yes or no, right? Again, he loves you whether you say yes or no. Do you guys know that? That God will always love you. You can say no to him and no to him and no to him. And as long as you, at some point you said, yes, I want a relationship with you, right? It's an interesting relationship. But the reality is, he still loves you. Even if you say no to him, I don't want a relationship with you, he loves you. There's nothing you can do that could take his love away from you. The fullness of his love. You can't earn even more love. The more I say yes, doesn't mean he loves me more. Right? But there's something significant that happens when your automatic response becomes yes at a quicker pace. Because he's looking for sons and daughters that will say yes. When I ask my son, hey, will you take out the trash? Right? And he says, oh, Dad, come on, I don't want to take out the trash. And then he goes and he does it. Or if I ask him, he says, okay, which response would I like better? Right? I want the okay. That feels a lot better. At the end of the day, is the trash taken out? Yep. It might take him 3 or 4 times of moaning and groaning to get the trash out. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the trash is out. So God will work with us, right? He's going to work with you right where you're at. But ultimately, the key for my son in taking out the trash is it does two things. It teaches him character and how to be responsible to take care of a home. And everybody in our home has a role. And so it's actually really good because it's teaching him, when he's a dad, what does it look like to have a home where everybody plays a role, right? It's actually a really good thing. It's not a punishment, right? It may not be fun, right? I think the fun thing for me as I walk with the Lord more and more and more is everything that he invites me into, there's a lot of fun involved, right? To see the person with the hurt arm in Safeway and now they have no pain in their arm, that's a whole lot of fun, right? It's worth the risk of saying, I go through my little list. Am I qualified? Is God going to do it? What's going to happen? Are they going to reject me? Are they going to say, get away from me, you weirdo, right? Like, what that whole process? I've had it all, right? And yet the reality is so many times when they say, yeah, I'll receive prayer, then they're healed. It's a good day. But it goes back to, did you say yes? Right? Because if God wanted to just heal, right? He'd say, like, okay, come to Safeway, aisle 4, right? And people could just walk down the aisle and get healed. But for some reason, he wants to include us in the process. There's something about having you learn and grow in the process of saying yes. We're ambassadors in this county. And you may not feel like an ambassador as you sit here this morning, but you're a chosen ambassador for the kingdom of God. He chose you for this county, right? Unless you're visiting from some other county, right? But he chose you for this county. And when I think of the people, as I just look around, how many cities in our county are represented in this room? You're an ambassador for the kingdom of God in the city that you live in. Right? So we got Forestville, we got Cloverdale, we got Guerneville, we have Santa Rosa, we have, Sebastopol, right? If they were here, we'd have Cotati, the Osterholz, right? Windsor, right? There's so many cities that are represented. Yeah, Forestville, right? You're the ambassadors that he chose to reveal the kingdom in that city and in this county. He's called us to bring the kingdom to this land, right? Jesus, his mission was to reveal the Father's heart, ultimately. It was to reveal the Father's heart. If you look at everything that Jesus said and did, it was all about revealing the Father's heart. And that mission hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed is now Jesus lives inside of us, and we're supposed to be the ones that reveal the Father's heart. And so every single person who lives in Sebastopol can have an encounter, because those of you who reside in Sebastopol are interfacing and releasing the kingdom in that place. Right? You fill in the blanks. Christ in us, the hope of glory. I think it's interesting that David, he killed the lion and the bear when no one was around. Nobody was with him when the bear came. Nobody was with him when the lion came. And he had to ultimately say to the Lord, okay, I'm going to just defeat this bear or this lion. When it came to Goliath, everybody was around. But he already had some experience of saying yes to the Lord. He could have ran away from the bear. How many of you guys would run towards the bear? All right? Yeah, I got three or four of you. Good. Yeah, that's great. We need you, right? Or the lion, right? How many would just say, no, this is too much for me. Have the lamb, right? All right? I'll take the rest. But David didn't do that. When nobody was watching, there was an integrity check. How are you going to stand? Will you say yes to the Lord, the situation? You're supposed to protect the sheep at all cost. And David said yes. Mary, Isaiah, Ananias, they said yes when no one else knew that they were even being asked. Right? Mary didn't go to, let me check with my council of advisors before I answer you, oh, angel. Right? Ananias, nobody knows that the Holy Spirit came to Ananias, other than the Holy Spirit and Ananias. Right? Same with Isaiah. I think it's critical for us in those situations where God comes to you and nobody else knows. It really shows what's in our heart. Because like, if you're in front of a bunch of people, there's some pressure, right? How are you going to respond? And everybody watches everybody. Right? And so in the face of a crisis or a situation that happens, we just went through the huge fire, right? How are people responding? How are the Christians responding? What are they saying yes to? What does the yes look like in terms of love and service and caring in this season? Right? The whole community around us is watching us because we're the ambassadors in the land. They're trying to figure out, what does God say about this? What is God? What's the Father's heart about this? They're looking at us. They're saying, how are they responding? That's going to reveal the Father's heart. Right? But when nobody else is around and God gives you an invitation, go to this location or give a word of encouragement to your coworker. Nobody else knows it but you and the Lord. Your yes is so critical in that moment. Again, it's the yes that leads to more invitations. Right? It's just what God does. And so one of the things that he was putting on my heart today was just to ask, what's God calling you personally to birth in this land? Remember we said you're destined for greatness? And you may or may not feel great right now as you sit and listen to this, right? That's just perception. But the Holy Spirit, the word of the Lord about you is you're destined for greatness. And so if you're not currently experiencing the fullness of greatness where you stand and you feel like, I am great for the Lord, like there's something significant about me, right? You're not pretentious, you're not proud, arrogant, all that kind of stuff, because you know you can't do anything apart from him. But Christ in you is the fullness of heaven being activated and released to everybody around us, right? And so you're meant to experience greatness. And so he's calling us to birth things in this land. And so for some of you, maybe it's a new song, right? You may not even be a musician and he's calling you to birth a song. Would you say yes? Right? Or maybe it's he's giving you fresh revelation and it's supposed to be a book. Or a curriculum. Would you say yes? What's he calling you to birth? Maybe it's a creative strategy or an innovation. Maybe it's an invention. Right? You sat on it and sat on it and sat on it. And yet maybe this is the time. This is the season that God's saying, move forward. Let your yes be yes and actually develop it. Maybe what he's calling you to birth in the land is stuff that you just take for granted, right? Like hope. I know one of the things that God has for me to birth in this land is hope. I can't not be hopeful, no matter what comes my way. I really can't. It's the Lord in me. But every place I go to, I have to release hope. It's just one of those things. Who would rather be around a hopeful person than somebody who's disheartened? Right? Yeah. Our county needs hope. Right? In a big way. Right? What about love? Or joy, or peace, right? Maybe you're the one who's supposed to release joy into this land. You guys know Keith Ferrani, right? Right? He's been here. He's spoken several times, right? And do you remember? I don't know if you ever shared about it here, but he did like a joy walk one time. I forget if it was in Vacaville or up in Willits. I think it was in Willits when he was pastoring up there. And it was a crazy encounter that he just felt like the Lord said, you got to release joy into this land. And so they set up a parade and they danced and they sang and they did this whole thing all through town, right? I don't want that. But, yeah, you know, if the Holy Spirit says do it, we'll do it. But it was this thing that radically shifted the atmosphere with joy in his land because the Holy Spirit said, Willits needs joy. Will you go forth? And part of the process was for Keith to really understand what's in his heart. Is he so worried about what everybody else thinks about him? Or will he lay it all down and just dance like David before, you know, as they're entering into the city, right? Before the ark, right? What will you say yes to? Is there limits to your yeses? I will say yes unless it makes me uncomfortable. I will say yes unless it pushes this button. What will you say yes to when the Holy Spirit comes? God's good, right? He's a good father. He would never call you to do something that's bad. He would never call you out to do something to humiliate you or embarrass you or hurt you in any way, shape, or form. He's always good. So every invitation he gives you, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it feels awkward, even when it's a risk, it's really good for you. And if we really got that, Our yes would be so automatic every situation that comes. And that's what he's after. He's after a people, sons and daughters, like my son. Will you take out the trash? Yep, I'm on it. Wouldn't it be nice if my son took out the trash without me even asking? Right? So maybe every single person you see who's in need of healing, you release prayer for healing for, even without the Holy Spirit coming and saying, hey, what about that one? I don't know. Is part of your regular daily connection with the Lord asking if there are any specific assignments he would have you carry out? Right? It's as simple as, Holy Spirit, what would you have me do today? Is there anything special, anything significant, anything extra than my normal day that you would have me do today? And then listen. What does he say? You might be surprised that he says, go give an encouraging word to this person. Or pick up the phone and call so-and-so because they're discouraged today. Or take a flower to Paul Tholicky. Right? He asks us to do crazy things. He just does. I remember a testimony from this woman, Luz, right, who was in the middle of the night called to go bring milk or something like that to a place she never even knew. She drives down this dark road and knocking on the door and feels like, is this safe? And yet the people had just been praying. They had a little baby. They were praying for milk. That's our God. He'll take you to those crazy adventures if you're willing to say yes. That's my point. God already knows your schedule. He knows your time commitments. He knows all the responsibilities you have today. Right? My day is full. Boom. 5 a.m. up. Shoo. 11 o'clock at night. I'm going. Right? There's not a day. I got 4 kids and we're leading a church. Right? So there's a lot going on every single day. Right? And yet, every time God asks me to do something out of the ordinary, it seems like he makes a way for everything else to get taken care of. Right? It might feel inconvenient or how's it all going to work, but it seems like every single time I say yes, every single thing else gets done. Right? It's just what he does. And so really, we're gonna end today with this. We're going to pause. And you're just going to listen between you and the Lord. We're going to ask that question of the Holy Spirit. Is there a special assignment that he would have you carry out today? This isn't for tomorrow or next week. It's for today. Is there a special assignment that he has for you today? As you leave church today, he has this for you to do. And so we're just going to pause. We're going to listen. And then I'll close this in prayer in a minute. So, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would come. And you would encounter each person that's here and every single person listening on the podcast. And we just ask you right now, is there a special assignment that you would have me carry out today? Okay, so some of you just heard about a prophetic act that you're supposed to do. And some of you just heard you're supposed to give a prophetic word to someone. They might be in this room, they might not be. Some of you just heard that you're supposed to give money to somebody. Or that you have another resource that you know you're supposed to give to somebody or let them use. Some of you just heard that you're supposed to serve somebody. And some of you heard that you're supposed to give an encouraging word to someone. And some of you heard nothing. And that's okay too. Because just because you asked a question doesn't mean it always has an assignment. Right? You don't want to make something that's not there. But you don't want to miss an opportunity that he has for you. Again, it's for you and it's for the person that he knows you're the one who's going to release his kingdom. Right? And so there's nothing different about us as you sitting in this room than Mary, Isaiah, David, Caleb, Esther, Ananias. There's nothing different about us other than will you say yes? Do you say yes? Yeah. Right? They said yes. They didn't know what the outcome of that yes was going to be. They simply said yes. And so when he invites you into these things, this may be the one act that revolutionizes Sonoma County. You just never know. It ultimately doesn't matter. That's not what it's about. What it's about is will you say yes when he comes and invites you into the more. That's the key today. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you for these sons and daughters that are gathered here. And you know their hearts and you know everything about them. And as they hear this word today, you know what it raises for them. You know the whole mental process that's behind what they're thinking right now. You know their emotions, what gets raised. You know their spirits. You know even their physical bodies. For some, it causes them to be really tense and anxious, right? There's something about that where the enemy tries to come and say, nah, that's not going to be good for you. And we just renounce all the lies And we declare the truth again that you are a good, good father and you only invite us to things that are going to bless us. Will they be risk? Yes. Will they cause us to step out into areas that we've never been to before? Yes. It's what you do. You invite us to walk on water. Ha. When it's not humanly possible. And so thank you, Jesus, that you're the God of the impossible and that you invite us into releasing, the impossibilities. To the impossibilities, we release the possible. And so I just pray, Jesus, that you would seal the work that you did in each one here today. And I pray that we would start incorporating a greater measure of a lifestyle of a daily encounter with you, of just asking if there's special assignments that you have for us. And even throughout our day, that you would catch our attention, but also we would pursue you. What would you have us do today? Yeah. And then, Father, I pray that for each of us, that process of getting from indecision to a yes would get faster and faster and faster and faster and faster, till we would like nothing more than to just do whatever you have for us to do. Say whatever you have for us to say, that it would just be Jesus flowing through us wherever we go. The kingdom advancing and this county transformed and the cities we live in, for your glory. And I celebrate the truth that we are your ambassadors. We might be good ambassadors or bad ambassadors, but we are ambassadors. And you chose us. And it's an honor to be an ambassador for you, an ambassador for Christ in the land of the living. Yeah. And so I pray that you would teach us and shape us more and more into what that truly means in a way that we give you glory in all that we say and all that we do. Wow. Yeah, and we just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving us the invitations. Thanks that you don't want to just do it all by yourself, but that you choose us and you invite us into the more, because you know it's good for us and it also gives glory to you. And then it changes and transforms the world around us. Wow. You're so good. And we just ask that you would seal this word in Jesus' precious name. Amen.